Backseat Box Office, episode number 32, for the weekend of April 29th through May the 1st, 2011. Hey, this is Tony.
This is Andrew.
This is Jonathan.
Oh my God, it's the Backseat Producers.
Yeah, we are.
Yeah, buddy.
been making women swoon for about 5 years now, I believe.
Yeah, about. Thereabouts. Yeah, so, let's see. When this episode drops, we will be one day before the fifth anniversary of Backseat Producers as a podcast when it was actually started as Fanboy Smackdown. If you want to hear the full history, listen on Monday to the Backseat Producers episode that's being released. There's, we reminisce and play a couple of voicemails. Some maybe even people you've heard on this podcast.
Now, do you reminisce fondly or regretfully?
Gaily.
That sounds about right. Sounds about right.
Just being blunt.
Say, I meant to call in and, you know, ask you guys to stop, but I forgot. I got distracted by sheet punching, so.
Yeah, that sounds a little weirder than gay, actually. Gay is not weird. Not even close.
Look, I needed their wool. I had to punch them. It's my only choice.
Is that what you're calling that white stuff? Wool?
That's the only way it works. Sometimes it's gray. Every once in a while it's pink. I mean,
It sounds like there's a problem if it's pink. You need to check out a doctor for that one. I have been drinking Mountain Dew flavored vodka. Thank you, Three Olives.
I have no excuse.
You're just punching sheep. You're just high on punching sheep.
Best kind. All natural.
I got nothing. Wow. We have totally derailed ourselves 3 minutes in. I think we need something to bring us back around.
Oh my God, it's the Backseat Producers.
Better. I feel better now. I don't know about anybody else, but that makes me feel better. So, Andrew, tell us, like, what happened this week.
Help us out here, man.
Did we lose him?
Yeah. Wait. You know what? I've had my mic muted for a while now. I kept talking over me, and I was like, what a couple of asses. And I even tried to do the results at one point. You guys kept going. And then he said, is he there? I'm like, shit.
Oh, that's a big bucket of win right there.
The level of professionalism in this podcast is astounding.
Well, you know, one of the things I said when you guys couldn't hear me was water finds its own level. Apparently, I meant that in more than one way. Apparently, I was referring to myself as well as Jonathan. So, Rio holds on to its number one spot with a weekend gross of $26.3 million. Number two, Madea's Big Happy Family debuted with $25 million. Watson's debuted at number three with $16.8 million. Hop from Universal actually picked up box office, went up 13.7% to 12.1 to kind of surprise me and I think a few other people to, yeah, to hold. Just went from three to four, but still much better than I thought it would do. And then number five, Scream 4 went from number 2 to number 5 with a weekend gross of $7 million, hemorrhaging 62%.
That was rough.
Tony, how'd you do?
I did fairly well. Not great, but fairly well. actually, everybody had a pretty decent week. Overall, we were down about, like, across the board, we were down about 1 point across everyone who participated. And I must say, not everyone participated this week. We had some chickens. I'm looking at you, Rich.
Rich!
Yeah, so this week, my picks were Medea's Big Happy Family at number one, Rio at number two, which they were reversed. Water for Elephants, dead on, nailed it in third. Scream 4 in fourth, and Hop in fifth were reversed. Hop was in fourth, and Scream 4 was in fifth. So I ended up with a total of 20 points for the week.
And I would like to say my picks were exactly the same as Tony's picks.
True.
So I end up with the exact same results and the exact same score. So let's kick it over to Jonathan.
I don't know how well I did because I wasn't paying attention this week.
you got an 18.
I did see that. Looks like I had Water for Elephants and Rio flipped from Andrew and Tony. So Robert Pattinson didn't bring in as much money as I thought. Actually, Rio didn't drop as far as I thought it would, is really, I think, what happened there.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So we've got an interesting mix of movies coming out this week.
That is one way of putting it, yes. And I think we all know the big opener is Dylan Dog, Dead of Night.
I've seen commercials for this, and it looks Superman-tastic.
Well, you know, it's Brandon Routh, as you said, Superman-tastic, taking on the lead role of another comic book hero in Dead of Night.
Yes.
Dylan Dog is a private eye who hunts down monsters and the undead in London's underbelly.
I have not heard of
Dark
this
Horse comic, or...
Come on, comic book guy. Yeah. Tell us about it.
I'm going to be honest. I didn't realize it was based on a comic book until about 45 seconds ago when I read this off HSX.
I didn't either. I'd never heard of this property until... Actually, I'd heard of the property before because I saw commercials of it during Chuck. So,
you know, if only Aaron Head was here, I bet he could tell us.
Probably.
You're letting us down. Look, we've got the movie, the video game, and the comics like covered
now,
here.
I'm going to tell
dropping
you.
The ball.
I'm going to tell you the exact same thing I told Aaron Head and Paul and Tim and Wayne earlier. I am the drag shoot on this podcast. I am here to keep us going from going too fast and flaming out and crashing and dying. I'm here to slow it down. That is my role on a podcast.
You know, every podcast needs one.
That's right. Don't speed.
That must be Alex's role on watching.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is. So, Jonathan, and just let me tell both of you, it's put out by Dark Horse, originally published April 21st, 2009. Suck it.
Look at that. I called the Dark Horse thing before you did.
Well done.
It's true. That is true.
I am going to claim that, even though I didn't actually win.
But can you tell me who the author is?
Do I care?
Probably not. I'm just guessing, but probably not.
That's right. Smack that.
So, excuse me. Dylan Dog, Dead of Night's opening in 1,000 theaters, being distributed by OmniLab and Freestyle Releasing, horror comedy. I think it's trading at $6 a share on HSX.
It's rocking hard.
That's what I got. Tony, why don't you tell us about Fast Five?
I know nothing about this film.
All right, well, let me tell you about Fast Five.
I'm going to be honest. I have not seen any of the Fast and Furious movies. None of them. Not even, like, changing channels and scanning past it. I have not seen anything of these movies. I know nothing about what they are. I'm assuming they're fast cars. That's the best I can do.
Yep.
I have an aversion to Vin Diesel. Like,
why?
I don't actually know. I rented the Fast and the Furious once, and I was on one of those unlimited deals, so you didn't have any late fees. I held on to it for a month and a half and never watched it.
Wow.
And then took it back. And then, like, I borrowed Pitch Black from someone and kept it for, like, 6 months before
I've never
they
seen
finally
that one.
Asked for it back. That's the only Vin Diesel movie I've actually ever watched.
Iron Giant?
Nope.
Okay, well, that one is worth watching because he's not really in it because it's animated.
Yeah, I'm sure and he's there are plenty that are worth watching. And just
he's the giant, so and it's just because of that voice. So.
Yeah, so, I mean, if you ever do watch The Fast and Furious, just don't even bother with the second movie. Just skip right over that. Go one, then just go straight to Tokyo Drift, four, and then I assume five will be quite well as well. So basically, Universal's picking up with the next fifth Fast and Furious movie. Based on the record-breaking opening of the fourth film, which you guys probably don't realize, the fourth film brought Vin Diesel and Paul Walker back together for the first time since the first one. Seems to be taking place down south in Rio de Janeiro. The thing that just gets me, you know, the two of them are out doing capers, Vin Diesel and Paul Walker, and then The Rock has been sent with his crack team to bring them back to justice. Oh my God. Come on! It's wow. The rundown with Fast and Furious? Apparently I'm alone in appreciating this.
Yep.
That's fine. You know what? You know who is with me?
I haven't seen very many Dwayne Johnson movies either.
Do you know who is with me? I'll tell you who's with me. HSX is with me. This movie's trading at $186 per share.
That is ridiculous. That is absolutely ridiculous. That means this movie's probably going to bring in like $60 million this weekend.
Well, it's opening in more than... Go ahead.
I was going to say, you got to figure this movie is really the start of the summer season. I would think because yeah. Thor comes out next week.
So
Priest is after that. Which whether or not that does any good, it's still an action sci-fi comic thing,
right?
Pirates of the Caribbean. You know, we're into that season now, so it doesn't surprise me that they expect it to do well.
True.
And Fast Five is opening in 3,500 plus theaters.
That means so it could be like 18,000.
It could be now, you know
whenever they add the plus. Yeah, whenever they add the plus on the 35,000 means they've just stopped counting. We're going to see if we can cancel other movies so we can put this in more screens is what it means.
We're getting the conspirator off our screen and bringing an extra screen of Fast Five.
Yep. That's Screwly. At the Art House Theater. Yeah. Screw indies. We don't need this art house crap. We need more fast cars and Vin Diesel.
And The Rock. And Paul Walker.
And Paul Walker.
Come on.
I've decided that over the summer that needs to be my role on the podcast.
What's
that? I'll have time, and so I'll just go to the art house.
Go to the art house movies?
Yeah, and I'll come in and be like, you guys should have watched this.
You guys are so trad. Oh,
why are you guys... What's with the rat tail, guys?
To be fair, I'm
going to be drinking my coffee at the movie instead of eating popcorn.
It is the art house theater in town is a cinema cafe.
Coffee and hummus instead of soda and popcorn.
Maybe
just, you're just turning
wine.
Into a communist hippie. You go do that, you hippie. So what else is coming out?
Well, this is the movie. The next one. It's something I think Jonathan knows a lot about, so I'm going to let him tell us about it. Jonathan, tell us about prom.
Well,
to be fair, you are the one in school.
Yep.
Well.
And you're the youngest one on the show.
The relationship was almost over, and then there was... We went to prom, and I borrowed my grandmother's car, and there was a awkward moment where... I thought she was drunk, but I know we didn't have any alcohol. And oh, wait, you're talking about a movie.
Yeah, not your prom. The new Disney movie called Prom.
I don't
know.
Oh,
my God.
I know something about Hoodwinked because I watched the first one.
Oh, that first one was so bad.
Tell us what Hoodwinked is.
I don't know anything about the second one. I know that it's. The sequel to the first one that my wife liked.
Andrew, since you were the prepared one, tell us about prom.
Alright.
Look, prom. I didn't know how many points I had scored this week until like 5 minutes before we started recording. So.
Hey, to be fair, you said that I had to go first with my pick, so I'm doing anything I can to deflect right now so I can figure out what I'm going to pick. Come Tony, on. You know how I work. Excuse.
That's a fair excuse. Jonathan, you got to work on yours a little bit. All right.
I don't care.
Prom is a comedy from Disney featuring or centering on a group of nine teens as they deal with the preparations and angst that leads up to the biggest social event for high school seniors. The cast includes people I've never heard of. I don't have much else to say about it. It's directed at $28
directed by someone I've never heard of, with a script by someone I've never heard of. Apparently I don't watch enough Disney Channel.
Well, you know, probably the same reason we didn't see Soul Surfer doing as well as it did.
That's true.
I'm and not prompting in 2,700 theaters.
You know, to be fair, it seems like Disney is trying to capture that market that John Hughes at one point had in the 80s of the teenage movie, like the high school movie. Like sure. it, they did all the High School Musicals. They're doing this prom movie where Hughes, you know, took more of a realistic approach. I don't think anybody really wants to know what's really going on in high schools now. So they're doing this glossed over, a highly produced musical version of what high school is to make people, you know, even more sad about their high school experience. Where in the 80s, you know, we watch like The Breakfast Club and say, okay, I'm not a complete freak.
Tony,
and then you watch now the high school kids are watching prom and like, why can't my school be like that?
Tony, the next thing you're going to tell me is that it's a small world ride at Disney World is a glossed over version of international relations.
No, that is exactly how international relations work.
I figure, you know, the little Disney. Dutch guys are waving to little Chinese people. It's very happy.
Walt Disney had his thumb on the pulse of international relations. That's why Euro Disney does as well as it does.
I had a friend who was stuck for 4 hours on that ride.
It's a small world after all. Anyway,
the greatest
got violent when that song came on.
The greatest thing that has ever come out of the Small World ride is in Shrek the movie when they make fun of it.
Yeah, it is pretty good. All right, last movie. The fourth movie coming out in anything resembling, in my opinion, wide release is Hoodwinked 2, Hood versus Evil. I didn't see the first Hood. Yeah, it's coming out from Weinstein Company, who's done other very good films. It's telling the story of a teenage Red who is trained in a distant land by a group called Sisters of the Hood. She gets a top secret assignment to investigate the disappearance of Hansel and Gretel. The Wolf and others from the first film return to help Red on her mission. Featuring voice talents of Corey Edwards, Todd Edwards, and Tony Leach. Is that right? Hold on.
Wow.
We are perfect podcasters.
Well, you know, it says their names, but the way that kind of says it, and I wonder if they were writers. But
well, according to Box Office Mojo, the voice actors are Hayden Panettiere, Glenn Close, Joan Cusack, Bill Hader, Amy Poehler, David Alan Grier, Andy Dick, Brad Garrett, Martin Short, Patrick Warburton, Cheech Marin, and Tommy Chong.
And those are all people I know. Some of them personally.
I'm guessing the Edwards brothers and Tony Leach are writers, directors. I'm not sure. They're not. Doesn't really say on here. But anyway, it's trading at $23 per share and is opening in, I don't know, let's say 2,500 theaters.
Yeah, this week's going to suck for picks. I'm just going to throw that out there right now.
It's good to see Andy Dick getting work again.
Yeah, what's terrifying is that he's getting work in children's movies.
Yeah.
Yeah, but they're animated, so he's not working with actual children.
That's true. That is true.
That improves things a little bit.
Mm-hmm. A little.
A little, yeah.
I think I'm gonna pull a Rich and just not give picks this week.
that's not a you're a host.
Yeah, unfortunately, bitch. That's not an option.
Okay. Well, I am in a quandary. Let's see. I think it's safe to say that I'm gonna put all my chips in the HSX bucket and say that Fast Five is going to be in first.
Hell yeah, it is.
This is where things get fun. you know what? Screw it. I'm just going to go with it. Number two, Madea's Big Happy Family by Tyler Perry. Number three, Rio. Four, Prom. Five, Hoodwinked. Done.
Interesting.
You know what? Yeah, that's fine. I'm going to do that. Screw
it. Are you sure?
Nope, but that's what I've committed to. So
I think I'm going to write all five of these titles on. I should say four because I'm going, I agree with one of the titles.
You know what? Anybody got a D4?
I'm gonna write them on four pieces of paper, throw them in the air, and then just whichever one I pick up first.
That is a safe bet.
This is going to be excellent podcasting. I'm looking forward to maybe hearing the chair tip over. All right. Well, like Tony, I tied, so that me second. Fast Five, no question. I think Fast Five is going to bury everything else, getting up to around 60 million opening. I think Rio will drop to number two. I think Prom, I have a long history of undervaluing the teen movies, so I'm actually going to put Prom at number three. Tyler Perry movies tend to drop off pretty steeply after the first weekend, so I'm going to throw Madea at number four. I don't really like... I'm going to put Water for Elephants at number five.
Wow.
I don't think Hoodwink can do it.
That's fair.
I had Hoodwink down, but I just took it right off and threw Water for Elephants in there.
Yeah, it's tough when you've got... Because, all right, so to be fair, last week Hop had a jump. Well, you know what? It was an Easter movie, and it was Easter weekend. So that doesn't even count.
Yeah.
And, I mean, this is kind of unprecedented. We've got three animated movies that, you know, potentially could be in the top seven or eight. If you look at Rio, Hop, and Hoodwinked now. That's a weird place to be in with that many kids movies to choose from.
Yeah, I just don't... Yeah, I think Hoodwink's going to fall short.
I don't know.
But go on, Jonathan.
I'm doing the card thing, so...
Should we talk amongst ourselves for a minute?
I've got five cards here. I've written five titles on them.
Okay.
And then I'm throwing them in the air now. Oh, crap. They went far away from...
Lean backwards. Lean backwards and grab it.
My head is attached to the computer.
It's holding him up.
All right, number one, I'm going with Fast Five.
You just pulled that out of the card. You grabbed out of the
year. No. Number one, that was the one that I agree with.
Oh, okay.
That's a good call.
My next four are based on the cards.
Okay.
And thankfully, I chose Rio at number two.
Okay.
Let's see. I can reach this one easily. So, that's not going to be good.
Is it Hoodwinked?
Number three. That one is just too far away. So whatever it is not going to work. Water for Elephants at number four.
It's probably Madea, man.
Prom at number five.
Watch Jonathan get 100%.
Yeah, he's going to get a 25 this week.
Watch him get a perfect score.
You know, early on in the podcast, I did joke about somebody, I think it was Jonathan, casting runes to... Yep. And he just effectively cast runes to get his picks for this week.
Yep.
Just laying it out there, keeping it real.
So to anyone listening... This may be a valid strategy for you in the future. Let's see how Jonathan does with it.
Look, this is the end of the semester. I am half-assing everything.
Nice. Hey, it's just like immediately after performance review time. I understand this concept.
I got my raise.
That's right. Got my raise. I can coast for the next 10.5 months.
If you're lucky, you'll remember the last six when my next one comes.
Yep. All right. You
know, there was something I wanted to mention. Hold on. Oh, you know, we mentioned about this on the results show, but I thought this was worth mentioning here, and I'm hoping I'm reading this correctly. Father Beast last week was mm-hmm. the second listener to pick up a perfect score.
Yes.
And Father Beast is also the first contestant to bypass the first, wait, the first contestant who does not have an asterisk to jump in front of host.
And he jumped in front of two hosts.
Jonathan and I, in fact, to be specific, he's now ahead of us, behind you, but kudos to Father Beast and his excellent week last week.
Hey, Jonathan, you know what that means? We're the bread in a Father Beast sandwich. just saying.
Nice. That's a disturbing picture in my head now.
Does he have a couple of sheep I can punch?
Bye, everybody. See you next week.
Oh, my God, it's the backseat producers. Slam.